here on what we call Easter morning. Praise God for the resurrection. So by the way of a little bit of news, how many of you have got the report this morning that there was an earthquake? Nobody? In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulcher, and behold, there was a great earthquake. Glory! There was an earthquake. And it wasn't the kind that we see on the news today. But there was an earthquake. And next the angel descended and rolled the stone away and sat on it. I read that last week in our communion Sunday evening. And I'm sort of came with a little bit of a gnaw in my mind that I don't have an Easter message this morning. And we certainly don't want to miss the joy of the resurrection and the blessing of it. I think it's a Sunday like always that we should particularly rejoice in the resurrection and praise God for it. And anyway, I was like, well, let's think about the power of God a little bit and Jesus rising from the dead. And no matter how hard they tried, there was an earthquake and the angel descended, rolled the stone away. And thus we have a risen Lord, not a dead prophet. We have a risen Lord. We can have the grace and power of God in our hearts. Could we just kneel for a word of prayer? Lord, we bow before you this morning. We come to you in Jesus' name, dear God. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for salvation, for redemption. Thank you for being willing to come and die for us, and we do rejoice in your power, that power that wouldn't let the sacrifice lay in the grave. Thank you for the resurrection. We pray for that power, the power of your Spirit, in our own hearts and lives, Lord, and that you transform us into your image, that we can live and walk like you. And God, we just so grateful that you've loved us, cared for us when we were unloving. Help us to be messengers, to be a light to the world, to be salt that has flavor. God, we pray for grace to live our lives this next week in a way that will minister to other people and cause others to see who you are. We desire to be your example here on this earth. Lord, we pray that you would bless the remainder of the service here. Continue to speak to our hearts. Would you teach us, admonish us, guide us, Lord, motivate us to press on toward the mark for that prize that we look for one day when we get to leave this earth and come and meet with you and live with you eternally in heaven. That is our desire, Lord. We just pray, do feed us today and equip us and help us to be able to walk by faith and to be overcomers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. a vessel of honor or dishonor. Seems like the Lord is speaking to us down a certain alley this morning. And I think he means to feed us, to nurture us, to guide us, bless us. And I have to confess that I wanted to bring something along and I forgot. I left and went to church and didn't bring it. I wanted to bring a vessel along. And doesn't have to feel like children's lesson, but sometimes if we see something, we connect with it. So we'll need to use our imaginations this morning. So let's start with 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Brother Jesse read verse 18. I'd like to read verse 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and then we're going to go to 2 Timothy. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. He says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's." So we're talking about a vessel here. And I don't think we need to keep it a secret long that the vessel we're really focused on is this one right here that we live in. That's the vessel we want to focus on. And he just starts out here and says, "Know ye not that your body is the temple," or we could say the vessel, "of the Holy Ghost, which is in you?" He says, "We're bought with a price, therefore we should glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's." And we want to think this morning about a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. And I feel like that's what we've been hearing about already this morning. And we have a choice whether we're going to be a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 3. Starting in verse 10, and we'll read down to verse 17. "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, he says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Several things to notice here. There's a foundation, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation. And we, as God's people, are to build on this foundation. We don't just sit here and go da 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 da. We build. And according to this scripture, I'm going to suggest that we're all going to build. But he's saying some build with gold and silver and precious stone. Some build with wood and hay and stubble. And what we build on this foundation is going to be tried by fire. And if we build with wood and hay and stubble, it's going to burn up. It's going to be gone. So the better thing to build with is the gold and the silver and the precious stone. That's the better thing to build with. And I'm not going to go into, he says here, if someone's work is burned up, that they would still be saved, but everything they did is gone. And life was empty. But then he goes on in verse 16 and says something a little bit different. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. So there's a bit of a price here for defilement. There's a bit of a price here for defilement. And as we think about a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor, there's a clear difference here. And it's very evident we want to choose to be a vessel of honor. That's what we want to choose. And thank you for exposing yourself, Brother Sam. But we all have those things. Where we're deciding, am I going to be a vessel of honor? Or am I going to be a vessel of dishonor right now? What am I going to look like? And we make those decisions on a regular basis. Now, if you could turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Excuse me. I've just been blessed with this lingering cough. Guess I need to be willing to suffer. I sang about half the time this morning, and I love Easter songs. And I'm sitting here like, I'd like to sing with everything I've got, and I know if I do, I'm just going to start completely coming apart with my voice. Praise God. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 to 21. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. Then he says, and some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. So now, we see a little different description here. We have vessels of gold and silver and wood and earth, and all of them have the potential to be a vessel of honor and a vessel of dishonor. A vessel of honor, the word honor, I just looked it up in the Strong's, is to a value that is money paid, it's putting a value on it, or to esteem, or having a dignity within itself. It has value. A vessel of honor, purity, it has value and has a sense that it can be lifted up as something that is worthwhile. Dishonor is infamy, which I think means not being famous, comparative to indignity or disgrace. And it's used as reproach, shame, and vile. A vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. Now, I'd like us to think about vessels a little bit. This is where I wanted to bring something along from home. We have a set of three bowls that fit into each other. And there are these, I'm not sure if they're stainless. They're a metal bowl. And ours have this little ring on the side. And it's a nice little bowl that can be washed very well. And there's three different ones, the bigger ones like this, and they fit into each other and stack, and you know. And as I thought about those bowls, and a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor, and I wanted to bring one of them. And the one I'd have brought would be here as completely clean, looks good, you could put whatever in it you choose. And you'd be completely comfortable. And it would look like a vessel that's, you know, when you're looking at the kitchen, it's not a Tupperware. You can clean this thing. It's trustworthy. But I have had these journeys from the house to the chicken pen with this same bowl. And you would be concerned about what you put in it at that point. And the aromas sometimes are nice and fresh, other times they're otherwise. It could be a gold bowl, and depending what you put in it, it's going to make it a vessel of dishonor. Now, if it's a wooden bowl and you put things of dishonor in it, the pores in the wood are actually going to... We have had things at home, a certain bucket that was called, does somebody have a clue? Slop bucket. And the poor thing, once it gets designated as the slop bucket, it doesn't ever return to a vessel of honor. But what I'd like us to think about is, it's what goes on in here that makes us a vessel of honor or dishonor. And the amazing part with this bowl I was talking about is, it has had many journeys of holding dishonorable contents. And you can bring it in the house, scrub it up, and clean it, and it's ready to go. I'm not suggesting that we should view ourselves as being able to get full of slop repeatedly. And yet, when we do fail, we have an advocate with the Father that we can come to, and he purges us and he cleanses us. And we can be a vessel of honor. Now, there are some things about us that we did not choose. It's a little bit of debate whether an unborn child has some influence as to when they're born or not. But most generally, I'm not going to be Mr. Hardnose here, but most generally I think the process of nature is controlling that. And there's different things involved. So do we choose how we're born? I want to say when we're born, where we're born, what family we're born in? Do we choose how tall we're going to be? I'm the third born child in our family and end up being the tallest. That's not fair, is it? My older brother was a full 5 to 6 inches shorter than I am. Well, we're probably done getting along, right? Do we choose those things? No. How many have just chose whether we were male or female? We didn't choose that. But we're a vessel, right? And the vessel, the person who we are that person. The family we're growing up in, or grew up in a major way affects us. What happened in our lives in a major way affects us. And there's things we don't have control over. But we're to be a vessel of honor. We're to be a vessel of honor. In Joshua 24:15, he says, "Choose you this day whom you'll serve." And we choose. We do choose. We do make decisions. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And we make choices in our responses and in our attitudes on a regular basis. Is it going to be a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor? Some of my points here are going to overlap a little bit. But first of all, number one, I'd like to just take the time to look at verse 19 and consider a little bit departing from iniquity. Iniquity. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19 says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his." Okay, we have a couple solid things in here. That's the foundation of God. And in Corinthians, we read that this foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the foundation of God is sure. It says it stands sure, having this seal. And then it has a seal that the Lord knoweth those that are his. So if we're a child of God here today, it tells us that the Lord knows us. He sees us. He knows who we are. He knows what's going on in our lives. He knows when we were born. He knows where we were born. And he knows all the details of our lives. He knows us. And then he goes on. He says, "And now let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." So first of all, we have the foundation of God and that God knows us. Now he turns and it's our response. Our response. "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." So we're going to name the name of Christ. We need to depart from iniquity because iniquity ends up being something in the vessel that makes the vessel a dishonor. And we want to be a vessel of honor. So we need to depart from iniquity. And here again, this is just out of the Strong's. It has several different things here. The first one is injustice. Injustice. You could say dishonesty. Doing things that, in a way, that just aren't straight and right. That's iniquity. That's iniquity. Another word that is here is morally. Morally. So, and I don't have a whole list of scriptures here. We could. But as we think in our minds of things that are morally not right before God. That's iniquity. And it will, when it's in our vessel, it'll cause us to be a vessel of dishonor. Dishonor. We want to be a vessel of honor. Wrongfulness. Now, wrongfulness has a parenthesis behind it, and it's wrongfulness of character, wrongfulness of life, and wrongfulness of act. And as I pondered that, I was like, okay, wrongfulness of character. That is going to really begin to spread all through our lives. Wrongfulness of character. Wrongfulness of life. Character and life. And then act. It's the way we carry ourselves. Wrongfulness in it causes us to become a vessel of dishonor when we respond in anger, in selfishness, in just fleshliness, definitely things like lying would be iniquity. Lying. Now here I have a couple verses that I wrote down here that I'm just going to read. Matthew 23, and this is talking about iniquity. Matthew 23, verse 28. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men. So appearing righteous on the outside unto men, but within are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. So having a nice look on the outside, we look right to men, to people, but inside, we're not who we say we are, so therefore it's hypocrisy. And this hypocrisy are sins and things that are going on in our lives that we know very, very well that they're not right because we're hiding them. We're being a hypocrite about who we are. And he calls that iniquity. And that will cause us to be a vessel of dishonor. Then in Matthew 24, verse 12, he says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So this is telling us, when we have things going on in our hearts and lives that we know are not right according to the Word of God, it has this effect of making us cold. The love grows cold. When you meet somebody that is a sincere person, loves the Lord Jesus Christ, and your hearts connect, and there's this warmth that flows, that's the opposite of what we're talking about here. But here's somebody that looks right, has a good-looking life, and yet it's just somehow we can't connect. I don't know what's wrong. Maybe it's on the side of, why can't I fellowship with people? Why don't I feel comfortable? Why doesn't it work for me to just share with other Christians? It could be because of iniquity and that our hearts are made cold by it. This is in Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So iniquity is a place we do not want to go. We do not want to be in iniquity. Number two, by our fruits. And I have Luke chapter 6 here. We could also have turned to Matthew. There's an identical set of scriptures in Matthew. But Luke chapter 6, by our fruits, we see whether we're honorable or dishonorable, by our fruits. Matthew chapter 6, verse 43, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt fruit bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, neither of bramble bush gather they grapes. He says in verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, we talk about not judging each other, and there is a real place for not being critical of each other and not judging each other and accepting each other. But there's also a place where the fruits that come out of our lives tell us who we are. And this is even something that we become aware of one of another. The fruit that is coming out of someone's life. You know, as older people, parents, leaders, you know, there's times that we look at a young person and we just say, praise God. There's some really good things happening there. How do we know that? You almost want to say, how do you not know that? Because of the fruits that come out of the person's life, you can just tell there's some really good things going on. And often it has to do with things that are being said. With what's being said, the attitude that's coming forward. Or you see somebody getting into a very difficult situation and it becomes very evident how they're responding. And the fruits begin to show and grow. A good man out of a good treasure of his heart, he brings forth that which is good. He brings forth that which is good. And it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And when those things begin to spew out, you're not treating me right. This is not fair. If you would just understand, and on and on and on you can go, it's like, okay. This is also fruits coming out. And God just puts the principle out there that by our fruits, we are known whether we're a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. And it may even be that we have an area that God very clearly dealt with us about. And we see somebody else struggling in the same thing. And maybe from what God has dealt with me, it looks like they're failing. And yet we see them go on and walking with the Lord, and it looks like it's okay. Let me just assure you Follow what God is dealing with you yet in. God doesn't deal with everything in our lives all at the same time. And we don't all follow the same journey. But if that brother or sister continue to walk with God, there comes a day that God's finger by Spirit will be on that area. And it might be in a different way than it was for us. We want to be a vessel unto honor. I'd like to read a couple of verses in Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, this is actually a prayer that Paul prayed or wrote for the Philippians here. He says, "This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." What a prayer. What a prayer. Approving things that are excellent, being sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Then in verse 11, he says that we would be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. And we have that in our lives. So we become a vessel of honor. And we'll be in a restful and a peaceful place. And the people about us will know. The people about us will know. Let's go on to number 3. Going on to verse 21. Of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. Purge yourselves. Purge yourselves. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, says he'll be sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now we would like that. Be able to be prepared for the master's use, right? There's a real blessing that comes with being able to be there and minister to others and bless people and be an encouragement, and even if it's just some little way. And it might be that word we said to somebody that we really didn't have a clue, but it spoke to their hearts and it blessed their lives. Meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Those are the ones that purge themselves. Now, there is such a thing as becoming too inner focused. And I want to just talk about that a little bit here. Becoming too inner focused. And what happens to us when we become too inner focused is that I'm focused on myself. And it all goes back to I, me, my, and what's going on in my life, rather than how can I be useful in the master's hand? What could I do for somebody else? But what I'd like to mostly talk about this morning is the need that we purge ourselves so that we are useful in the master's hand. When we come as a vessel of dishonor and we're trying to engage and be useful in the master's hand, we sort of leave this trail of, well, that just didn't quite work. Actually, and if that happens to us, we could find ourselves in a frustrated place. What is it about me that just doesn't seem like it works to share with others or be a blessing to others? Some people are able just to do things and it's a blessing, and somehow I can't. Or we have things we clearly know about in our hearts and lives, and we're struggling with them. And we're struggling. And then an opportunity comes, and here's this accusation saying, "But you're not living victoriously." And we go, Isn't that right? But when we purge ourselves, the testimony of our conscience is, "I'm walking with Christ." And let me add to that, we're pressing into the kingdom, and we have somewhere that we do fail. We recognize it, we confess it, deal with it, repent before God about it, and Proverbs tells us to get up and go on. And when the accuser comes, "I dealt with that right there, and I'm going on." Because he will accuse us for everything he possibly can way back through the years, if we will give him an ear. But what we can't do is live in sin and just claim to be purged, and yet I just keep stumbling. Our own conscience tells us, "You know you're not clear." We want to be a vessel of honor that can be used. Now I'm losing the words here. Can is meet to be used in the master's hand, prepared unto every good work. We want to be that vessel. So we want to purge ourselves. That means to clean thoroughly. Sanctified is to make holy, purify, consecrate. And meet to use means easily used or useful to the master. When we purge ourselves, that's what happens. Now, I'd like to read a couple other verses here before I go on this one. 1 John 3, this is very, I trust, familiar verse. 1 John 3, verse 3 says, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. If we have the hope of eternal life, it should cause us to purify ourselves." And then 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, also a favorite go-to verse. He says, "Having therefore these precious these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Before these, he was talking about being unequally yoked in chapter 6 and being separate from the world, and in the end that he will be our Father. We can be his sons and daughters to the Almighty God. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved," he says, "let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." And when we do that, we become useful, easily used in the kingdom of God. And we can be a vessel of honor. A vessel of honor. Number four, flesh versus spirit. I'm going to pick up a little bit. This is over, going to overlap with what I shared earlier in Romans chapter 8 and then Galatians chapter 5. So Romans chapter 8, verse 5, 6, and 7. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit." In verse 6, he says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So now I also would like to read a couple of verse 12 and 13 in Romans 8, but before I do that, I'd like to just read Galatians 5 with this. Galatians 5, verse 16 through 18 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And this is one of those verses that you want to say, now, is it really that simple? This sounds too simple. And maybe it's because we're having a hard time fully grasping what that means. But if we walk in the Spirit, he says, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I think the next couple verses shed some light. He says, for. The reason that verse 16 is true is for the Spirit lusts, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. If you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. So, you have, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Those are verses that we like to just take them. But when we put between, read what's between them in the context, he says that our flesh will lust against, the way I interpret it is actually it's fighting against, it's militating against. The flesh militates against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They are contrary, is what it said. They're opposite from each other. And when we fully recognize that battle in our hearts and lives, we become to understand that when I truly do walk in the Spirit, I don't listen to the flesh. But we have a battle we're dealing with, and if we yield to sin and to the flesh, then we weren't listening to the Spirit. So, if we could do this 100%, we'll be in heaven. But this is still the mark. This is still the mark where we're going. Because once I don't do anything in the flesh at all, you know, I haven't achieved that. Understanding where that thing's at. And if we actually walk in the Spirit, there is no need for the law in our lives whatsoever. Because we're going to walk in holiness, in godliness, in freedom. But the flesh and the Spirit are against each other, and they work against each other. And we're going to find ourselves in different places in this journey. What is really important is that we're listening to God and walking with Him where we currently are. I think we've all heard preachers say that if God would show us everything that needs dealt with in our hearts and lives, we'd be completely overwhelmed. So we're in a journey in this battle, walking with God. And if we'll obey God where we are, and we learn what He's teaching us, we continue to listen to Him and obey Him, we have freedom and clarity in our conscience. And we can be a vessel of honor. Romans 8, verse 12 says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Colossians 3, which Jesse skipped, and I'm not going to go there either, also talks about mortifying and putting things to death. Well, that's a part of purge yourselves. putting things to death. There's this war going on, and while we're here, we will continue to face it, this battle. But if we listen to the Spirit of God, walk in the Spirit, read the Word of God, get instruction out of the Word of God, we can have a clear conscience, be a vessel of honor, and walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. Number five, I'd like to just think about the fruit of the Spirit for a little bit. And this is Galatians chapter 5. I'm also going to read a couple verses in Ephesians chapter 5. But a vessel of honor, a vessel of honor, the fruit of the Spirit belongs in a vessel of honor. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's long-suffering, it's gentleness, it's goodness, it's faith, it's meekness, temperance. And he says, against such there is no law. There's times that people get upset at the fruit of the Spirit in people's lives. That happens. But there is not a law against love and joy and peace and long suffering. There's no law against gentleness, against goodness. Faith, depending what that faith has been, there have been some laws made. But in the Word of God, there's no law against faith. Faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. It says in verse 24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Goes back to what we've already been talking about. When we walk in the Spirit, there's this battle that goes on, and the flesh has to be crucified. Those affections and lusts have to be crucified. If you live in the Spirit, he says, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. I always find the fruits of the Spirit to be a challenge. Are those things coming out of my life? I came here this morning. This was a busy week for me. Had a number of I'm not sure how to say, things in it that were duties and weighty matters, and like, how can this much go on in 1 week? Sometimes it was like, how can this much go on in 1 day? I sat down, and I'm like, I'm just not feeling real joyful this morning. But I'm supposed to get up and preach. How's this going to go? Well, I was blessed to be able to sit here and enjoy the service and have my heart refreshed in that, where I don't feel quite as much just under the and nothing bad happened. It's just things that need addressed and done, and some of them were doors I didn't think would open. All of a sudden, it's like, I'm right here. Need to step in and praise God for the opportunity. Ephesians 5, verse 9 and 10. Ephesians 5, verse 9 and 10. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness and righteousness and truth. And you know, we usually don't go here. When we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, we automatically just go to Galatians chapter 5. I was like, well, I think this would be good to read. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness, it's righteousness, and it's truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So as we think of a vessel of honor, I think of the fig tree that Jesus walked up to, and he's hoping to pick some fruit. And there was no fruit. And I'm thinking of the parable he shared of a man had two sons. And he spoke to the first one and asked him to go do something. And he said, yep, I'm going. But he didn't go. And he spoke to the second one. He said, and I could have them reversed, I'm not going. I won't do that. But afterward, it repented him, and he went. Jesus asked, so now which one did the Father's will? Which one was the vessel of honor? Well, it's very evident it's the one that went. We make choices. We make decisions. And what are we going to do with it? And what we do with it makes a difference of whether we're a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. I'd like to just read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 to 21 again, the whole way through, here in conclusion. He says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. I know there are those of us here that have been ministering to others, seeking the Lord, stepping forward and doing things, and I want to bless you and encourage you to keep doing it. Let's keep pressing toward the mark. Let's keep going forward. It is worth it. There is a reward. There is a blessing. It's a fulfilled life. It's a blessed life.